It is already January the 10th, 2011. Listen, the days have absolutely slipped by. Here we are in the midst of, well, look what's happening around the nation right now. There are some events, the chaos, the buzz. It's rocking the first 10 days. Not just the explosions and possible bombs that have been placed in some letters and some white smoke, but even today, Homeland Security, another one, but it's being overshadowed by, well, the shooting in Arizona. I've gotten email after email, and I've gotten Facebook notification after notification. Russ, is this the Black Awakening? Is this an individual that's a programmed assassin? We're going to look in tonight to Jared, and we're going to take a look at this young man. On my right, I see a picture they're putting up, Jared Lee. His head is all shaved. He doesn't look anything like that young picture they had out yesterday. Absolutely amazing that a young man, can walk into a crowd and begin unleashing, even shooting a little girl point blank in the chest and killing her. It is absolutely an outrage, absolutely unthinkable. It is absolutely radical. It is a demonstration more than anything else that radical evil is here still among us. That in this world, what we see there, what everybody hates right now, what everybody wants stopped for sure, is what lurks deeper and darker in many places. And what is to come will overshadow every single day in human history since the fall of the human race. The Red Horse, a prophetic, pictorial, dramatic revelation in a day in which, not just at a little shopping mall, when peace is taken from the crowd and evil is unleashed, bloodshed and pain and hurt and chaos and an event that is rocking the information streams around the world, so much carnage, one individual. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. Yes, Shatter the Darkness. It is 6 p.m. on a Monday night. It's the 10th. It is flying by. If you've taken a look at the website at all, you're going to see where we're saying already in the series this week. And let me tell you again, take a look at the series, usually posted by Sunday night, if not Monday morning. And the title for the theme of the entire week, the events, the chaos, and the buzz that rocks the first 10 days of 2011. Now, I have up there, it says this: I did tell you last week that 2011 would be quick and short. I think because of the events, I think because of the long look into 2012. Tonight, Monday night, the 10th, we're going to talk about the Arizona shooter and shooting and all that's behind that. Tuesday night, Harold Camping, the rapture going to happen in May. Embarrassing. This is embarrassing. It is wrong. And we're going to talk about prophecy, and we're going to scream it out. Don't set dates. Everything the scripture is opposed to now is being done. And once again, the false predictions will not come true. Wednesday night, the mesmerizing spiritual effect of 2012 prophecies and its spiritual expectancies. The problem is that the spiritual wave, this bulging, this growing sense in the air, in lives, in writings, in films, everywhere across the board. Listen, it is spiritual, but not from God. So we're going to deal with the mesmerizing effects Wednesday night. Excuse me. Thursday night, well, we'll touch on the dead birds. Today, thinking about whether I should or not, in Italy, I think it was, they said uncanny, it's never happened before, it's absolutely absurd. All these other birds, doves, have died. Blue beaks, chemicals, poison. Well, we're going to talk about that in light of Wormwood and part of the judgment when there is a global effect in the killing of fish and others. Now, Friday night, we're going to deal with a shift in focus a little bit, a shift in the focus of politics in the U.S. And what's occurring here, as I've already said in perceptions last week, that it'll be a culture war. Now, let's stop for a moment. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I got an email over the weekend from a friend that is setting up a conference in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's a conference called The Politics of Religion, April the 1st and the 2nd, 2011, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Derry Gilbert's going to speak. Tom Bonnie's going to speak. Dr. Future from FutureQuake's going to speak. Chris White from Nowhere to Run's going to speak. Andrew Hoffman's going to speak. Chris Pinto's going to speak. And now they've invited me to come. So we're going to get prepared. And you got to understand, in my work right now, it is just off the charts as far as what needs to be done. I've got to kind of just get the strategy from God on what to do, because there's so many things to do. The book, Awesome Power, Awesome Prayer, is going to be coming out. Seeing into the Future, we're desperately wanting to get those done now, because Revelation 19:19 has got to be done, all about Armageddon. Now, the theme for what I put up to those running the conference there in Fort Wayne, looks like they like it. And so the title of the subject in April is, for my sessions, called Future Politics and the Government That Ends the World. Now, that's The Politics of Religion coming up, a conference, and I'm hoping that many of you will come to this. We've seen in the last number of conferences, people come from up to 17, 18 states alone, even out of Canada, our friend Phil. Now, we want to see this conference do well, so we hope that you'll take a look at, PID Radio. They're going to be putting up, we got the clip up right now concerning it on our website, and we'll be talking about it all the way for the next couple of months, mentioning it. And we've got another invite, maybe in Connecticut, New Haven area, somewhere up there. It's being worked on, and they're going to let me know the date. So we're coming that direction. And someone else has written about coming to Texas. Simply this: we're praying for every possible opportunity, specifically preaching in churches, which I've done for 30 years. And we're open, and we are ready. But right here is where the primary door has opened. Got to say thank you to two specific individuals that have absolutely fueled this last year of radio time, of my being able to be with you there at 101.3 in Boulder City, Nevada, and all of you that listen by satellite, all of you by the thousands and that listen by internet, and then by the thousands and thousands around the world, the archives. And yes, we'll always have archives up. The station has archives up, and so we're glad that in all of our work, actually, going to 90 countries of the world. And so welcome from all around the world. And today I do come. It's not about just news, bad news, conspiracy news. It is about an incredible, indestructible, and glorious hope. There is hope for humanity. There has been a death. There was a resurrection. There was an ascension into heaven. And Christ is returning. God has come to fix the issues in this fallen world. And it's all about that radical evil. And the apex of all of it, yes, involves government. It involves military. See, there is such a thing as good governance. And good political leaders and governmental individuals. I know that there's so much cynicism among some that they have no hope. But I need you to hear that prophesied 700 years before Christ came the first time, that the Prince of Peace, that the Wonderful Counselor, that the Everlasting Father, that the one on whom the governments shall rest, the one that will rule with an iron scepter, the Prince of Peace that will end all of radical evil. In the millennium, there's not going to be a shooting, not even once. There's not going to be a war. There's not going to be a rape. There's not going to be any child abductions. There'll be no SRA. There will be no one in government cheating and stealing and taking when the Prince of Peace comes. Where lies your hope? Even now, you can learn from him, know him. Savior, Lord, Christ, well, King, friend, God. And so as we jump into this tonight, I already know that there are those that have asked the questions. They're from Facebook, friends that have been connecting. We're glad to be there to connect and say a few things and talk to a few of you there and try to answer some of the questions tonight. And for those who are chosen ones listening, those who have assassins programmed inside, for the reconnaissance agents, it's not about the conspiracy. It's not about just the news, though we're going to get into it. It is about the answer. It is about Christ. It is about his power. It is about redemption. It involves heaven and hell and where you will live forever. Two individuals have allowed us to be out here. I mean, listen, God opened the doors, obviously, and I'm sure they would say this, and I'm very grateful. I always want to be grateful for those who have been helping out in all the work we do, in all of where it reaches out to, in all the local areas. On the website, we have put up a thank you. I try to send an email thank you to everyone, and I'm trying to get a mailed letter to a few that have sent in support through the regular mail. And if you want to know about, you know, if you believe, again, this is a beneficial project, and if you look at our work and you feel it's beneficial, I do ask you to consider the support for 2011. We do not have the commercials, the business backings, and the product, commercials during this hour or anywhere else. And at the most, and on the average, we'll have a 5-second mention about support. But today, we want to mention going into this year, across the board, we are looking for about 100 individuals out of hundreds of thousands, literally, almost 2 million downloads of the teachings, MP3s, materials, and so forth, and over 30 million hits on the site in 2010 alone. So I get letters, and there is great effectual work. People are saved. Many people are touched. I am grateful. I am just grateful in doing my part. But I do know this, that the simple acknowledgement that the overall funding, and then specifically the radio program, starting February 1st, the radio program is going to have to be funded again. And we're taking care of all the way up to that point, but we're looking for those who will specifically take care, or if you want to, as a whole, involve yourself. All I'm going to tell you is take a look at the support tab and see for yourself what you can do. We're going to say we appreciate it, and in the name of the living Christ, bless you for your considerations. Now, in the midst of that, no other commercials, let me say this. The Arizona shooting, it is off the pages. It is horrible. It is absolutely blood and guts. It is evidence of the reign and operative nature of evil. It is the reality of sin. The bent heart and mind, is Satan involved? Is programming involved? What's behind all of it? We're going to take a look into it. I'm going to give you some characteristics tonight. You see, we had up, and I'll link to our site later tonight, a page we had up in the past on shooters. Now, if you go to, listen, if you go to www.theblackawakening.com, theblackawakening.com, if you go there, now that's the page where, yeah, the book, the information about programmed assassins and shooters and all that that we have written about, and about the what's underneath the carpet, the great chaos to come. What you've seen in Arizona, what the Black Awakening premise is in the future, somewhere, that kind of thing, and worse, will be happening all across America and Europe with the goal of collapsing nations. It's in biblical prophecy, but it is the dark side. It is that dark agenda. It does involve the issue of satanic ritual abuse and mind control, in which there are, at the minimum, 4 million cases diagnosed here, probably 8 million in Europe. Now, there are those that say there are 10 million, but they're not calculating the second and third generation. If this Jared was one, if he was one of them, he would be a third generation, and there's a fourth coming up. And yes, they are assassins and shooters, but they also understand explosives and bombs. They also understand weapons and knives and butchery. On the website www.theblackawakening.com, you'll see on the right-hand side Chaos Watch, and you'll see the little phrase shooters. Shooters. Now, we did this sometime in the past. I did a broadcast on this. We looked at the VTech shooter. We looked at the shooter in Germany, in Finland, Columbine, in Pennsylvania. We looked at quite a few of them, and we put up some information, and that is there if you're interested in that. Tonight, though, as we talk about this, we're dealing with one individual. Now, I'm saying again, one individual, but I'm not sure, and I don't think it's over, and I think that we need to look very carefully at everything behind Jared. Everything behind this 22-year-old that unleashed hell among a crowd, and we're going to go over. And I'm going to give you 10 right now, clues to look for concerning a programmed assassin. For those who understand the concept of chosen one or programmed assassin, let me begin by saying this. Let me begin by saying this. All the way back to G.H. Estabrooks, hired by the military, 1947, he writes a book which I quote in the book, The Black Awakening, how they were able to create sub-personalities that involved, well, you can call it hypnosis, that's the title of the book, but programming. They were able to find out how to create a sub-level in a soldier that could be a trained and controlled assassin. They could put him down and leave him down inside as a sleeper. They can trigger him and give him assignment. The assassin can come up, go out, do his assassination, killings, and then go back down as if nothing happened, and the upfront person, the main person, may not know what even occurred. Let me tell you what occurred. I've written about this in the book. This is what occurred. I'm in my office. I'm sitting behind my desk. A military soldier in his uniform, sergeant, brings in his wife for counseling. She'd already been downstairs with the fellow worker that's former law enforcement and prison SWAT guard team member. Highly trained. She'd already been down there talking and so forth, and it was time to come up, and she came into my office and sat across from me on my desk. I'm there on one side writing notes, been prayed up and ready to do some counseling and finding out about an individual that is said to be multiple, that has programming, that has sub-personalities. The soldier, her husband, goes out of the room and closes the door. I begin to ask a few questions. I look down at my notes and begin to write something when all of a sudden, slam! Something brushed by the top of my head so fast, so furious, so hard, it was in a split second. It happened so quickly that I actually didn't see until I began to look up, of course. There was a bayonet now stuck in my desk. That's went right past my head, brushed my head, missed me. What, by a tenth of an inch? The hands on the bayonet is from the woman whose eyes are glazed over as a programmed part of her attempted to kill me. They knew they'd missed, and they were pulling the bayonet out of the wood desk and trying to get it back. They had pulled it up and back and lurched forward and tried it again. Of course, me flying backwards, they missed. It went into the desk again. I grabbed an instrument next to me, was going around the desk. I was going to have to deal with it, whatever it took. The noise had alerted the soldier outside, the husband, and he literally opened the door and yelled, "What's going on?" The woman with the bayonet that just attempted to put it through my head looked over, and all this programmed what personality in front of me growled and ran for the door after him. He slammed the door out of fear, shutting it, protecting himself. She, or it, put the bayonet all the way through the door, right at his face. At that time, law enforcement came, rushing into the door. She collapsed to the ground. She switched back. That which attempted this had gone down. She's up wondering what occurred, what happened. I have seen this a number of times. I have seen it in our staff, in our offices. I've seen it when it's happened again and again. I've watched how fast, I've watched how quick, I've watched how proficient they are with weapons. I've watched when a phone call can come in and give just 3 short rings and a subpersonality be triggered. Runners, assassins, shutdown codes, all kinds of things. So I understand, because when the shootings occurred across the nation and in Finland and in Germany in the last couple of years, everybody's asking, is this the Black Awakening? And dear friend, Sue Bradley, journalist, writes me today. She's asking the same thing, but doesn't think that it is the Black Awakening. Obviously, let me make it very, very clear. No, this was not the Black Awakening. When the Black Awakening occurs, everyone will know. It is off the scale, off the charts. It will not happen just in one little strip mall area with a crowd of a couple hundred people and with one individual doing it. You're talking possibly a few 100,000 programmed sleepers being triggered and unleashed. You're talking explosions and bombs, assassinations, indiscriminate murder. You're talking absolute chaos. You are talking with the idea of massive revolt, the Red Horse, peace, not being taken from just a crowd, but from the entire earth. Revelation 6. Now, I'll come to that in a moment. This young fellow that had now gone into the crowd, now we are being told many things concerning him. Background, psychological problems, kicked out of college until he gets a psychological eval and some help done. Living as a loner. Other young people that knew him personally were on television today talking about him. How they tried to, you know, befriend him and how they tried to get to know him. We had seen stories now and other, I think, documentation that he had interactions with the Congress lady, that she had been a subscriber to one of the websites that he was writing on, that he might have even worked, but he was obviously with a variety of background literature. I don't want to go into all of it. You probably heard all of it. I want to touch on a couple of things that I have not yet seen. The number one thing and the report to look for right now is the last live story from a reporter that went to his home and snuck around the backside of the house before the father put an end to all that. Behind that house is Jared's shrine. A shrine. That's what he called it anyway. What he calls a shrine with all kinds of objects on it is actually an altar. It's like an altar. And that altar had a number of objects on it. We haven't heard all of it yet. But also, the reporter said live today, it also had a skull on it. A skull. Now, it's clear that more and more and more bizarre things are coming out about Jared. It is very, very clear that there are many things that are coming out, and who gave him the ride down there, who's behind this, what is the Renaissance group that he's been a part of, the books that he's read, and the things that he's been... No question that there's something mental there, but you know what? Most of those who are programmed multiples, well, they're considered mental. The DSM-3, the DSM-4, in the diagnostics of multiplicity, it's considered a mental disorder. There are many, many different, the women end up in psych wards, and they say the men end up in prisons. Here locally, there's a girl, 14 years old, abducted out of PA, brought to this area. She is slaughtered and killed. About a month later, another girl is taken. Kathy Menendez, the 17-year-old, she's taken out of Alliance, and she's also slaughtered and killed. The little girl, 14-year-old, was Sarah Bame. They were done on satanic rituals and or demon revels. Satan revels or demon revels. Satanic holidays, by the way. And let me tell you something, that this case is not over. It's over, well over 12 years old, and they've not nailed down. I just dealt with the feds a month ago, and I explained to them in discussing with the agent that is there trying to nail down the culprit, do you know how to profile a multiple? Do you know how to profile a programmed assassin? Do you know how to engage someone with sub-personalities? You see, the guy that we know did it, the guy that attacked us in front of all law officers, and they had to chain him and leg chain him, and the demons were there, and he screamed out, "We are the legions that shall rule the earth." He's a part of the troops of the Antichrist. Some of those listening right now, they're part of the troops. Others listening want to get a handle on all this. Some are so sick of it. They'd love just to go to Buster's and eat food and play games. But a multiple. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is an individual I care about a lot. About their salvation, their healing, their deliverance. I care. But there are sub-personalities, as with a number of victims across the nation, that will write to me. Sub-personalities committed to the dark side, programmed. I dealt with an assassin. You know, yeah, they've been to Fort Bragg. Yeah, they worked for the CIA. Yeah, they were in all this kind of government stuff, sure. But they had many personalities. They could speak five languages. Driving in a car with piggybackers behind me. I won't explain that right now, but we were driving and they asked me to pull over in an area where it was rainy and it was foggy, and you could have killed anybody in that spot and left them, and nobody would have found them for days. I pulled over. This individual reached down into a bag and pulled out a 9mm. I had no idea. They're looking at it. They pulled back and showed me that it was chambered with a bullet. It was a different personality. They weren't even really talking to me. And then they said, "Would you like to see my gun?" And I said, "Yeah." They handed it to me. I took the gun and looked it over, of course, praying what I should do concerning giving it back or not, and began to talk to the sub-programmed personality. "What is your name?" "My name is Assassin." I stupidly asked, "Well, what do you do?" they even had a small smirk. We discussed what it is they do. Now, they instantly said, they, that is the handlers, lied to me. I said, what do you mean? You didn't shoot me, they said. No, I'm not going to shoot you. I love you. I'm a believer in Christ. You didn't shoot me. They said you would shoot me. I said, then why did you give me the gun? They said, well, because it wouldn't, you know, hurt us anyway. I said, you mean if I was to shoot you point blank, it wouldn't hurt you? No, and even if we did die, they said, we would just go into another body. We don't die. They were programmed against the pain. They were programmed to be fearless. They were programmed that they wouldn't die anyway. See, there's a lot of soldiers, they fear death. Individuals fear death. Even law officers in a gun battle, knowing if they get hit in a certain spot, they're going to die. Here in Ohio, we had a young lady, a trooper, just checking out a complaint sent to a little trailer house where a crazy was. And he just, outside, he just took her off guard and shot her, I think, in the head and killed her. She didn't have a chance. So I'm sitting in that car wondering whether I should give the 9mm back. As I felt led, I did give the weapon back, in which they put it back into the bag. We discussed some more. Assassin, the subpersonality, went down and away, and the other person came back. We discussed what just occurred also. So, was Jared programmed? Was it a sub-personality? Was it just a 22-year-old crazy kid that didn't get along with anybody, that was a loner, that got kicked out of college, that was reading communist material, that was into Mein Kampf, that was writing bizarre stuff on websites and making bizarre... I watched some of the videos some of you sent me. Bizarre, yes, but yet telling. Where was his mind? I mean, where was his mind? Was it him? Was it Jared? Was it a subpersonality? Did he have a psychological report? Like the VTech shooter. Oh, he's a loner. Never had a gun in his life. Didn't know how to handle a gun. A quiet kid, a calm kid, nice kid, but a loner and by himself. Yet, he's all dressed for bear. He has a 60% kill rate. He goes in, shoots all the college students, over 30, and then blows his face off his head. Just a crazy, lonely boy, mad. How did he come to know what to do? How did he have such a proficient kill rate? Why was it an indiscriminate slaughter? Why did they find paperwork, psychological paperwork and testing work on the VTech shooter outside of the college at someone's home? Let me tell you that when I go over the characteristics, 10 of them, let me mention them quickly, I'll come back. Number one, look for mental known problems. Number two, look for the loner. Number three, look for the psychological and the sense of multiplicity and programming. I'll explain that. Number four, the self-released cover story. Number five, the background. Number six, the gun. Number seven, the indiscriminate slaughter. Number eight, the suicide. Number nine, the cover-up. And number 10, well, I'll tell you that when we get there. Did you know that Jared had a shrine, an altar, something back behind his house? Did you know there was a skull on it? I mean, this is a guy that had some really strange stuff going on, but it is said, and I watched another news report before we started tonight, oh, he's an atheist. No, I don't know about an atheist. I really don't. I really don't. See, Judas in the Bible, was he religious? Well, he was greedy. Was he a bad guy? Yes. Did he betray the Son of God all by himself, or was there a presence that entered into his life and led him to kill and then was led to commit suicide? there is a methodology to the process of killing, murdering, slaughtering, and then suicide. There seems to be. As a matter of fact, in all programmed assassins and all those who are chosen ones, those who are considered the troops of Antichrist, those who are in Europe, those who are in Russia, those who are in England, those who are in Canada and Australia, some would say now by you dealing with four generations since the late 40s, that we're talking now about 100 million. And we're talking then 50 million intact, never being to a psych ward. They're still controlled. They're still, all the personalities, including the killer assassins, are down as sleepers within until a trigger or a code is given. Now, this one that is multiple, this one that is, there's personalities that understand the programming, assassination, the Luciferian agenda. They send me a picture of a symbol that Jared had. And I'm looking at the symbol right now, and here's how they describe the sigil. Now you can look it up, S-I-G-I-L. Some pronounce it sigil. I've always pronounced it sigil. It is the taking of particular lines and forming them together and creating something that can be energized, the Temple of Psychic Youth. They had all their members were worldwide on the 23rd hour of the 23rd day of the month make sigils to be energized in a kind of a ritual format. And then send them into the central location, which I believe they were using for kind of powering up themselves. The energy, of course, coming spiritually. Now, this individual that is sent, as a matter of fact, let me, and again, they know that I will not speak their name. As a matter of fact, I have five emails already. And one just came in from them. They always begin by my name, Dizdar. It always looks like it's typed out there, sharp, Dizdar. Here's what they say to me. Here's a sub-personality, understands programming, understands assassination, understands the agenda, understands the sleepers. Remember Claybold, you know, from Columbine. Remember Claybold. A Michelin. Go look that up. M-I-S-C-H-L-I-N-G-E. Let me spell it again. M-I-S-C-H-L-I-N-G-E. A German word. Half-breed. Hybrid. About those who weren't fully Aryan. About the blood. Now listen, it says this. Remember Claybold, a Michelin. Referring to those who weren't full Aryan, and so his death is no loss. Here's what this individual is describing that shooter as, another useful idiot. Listen again. It says here, quote, expect large listening audience tonight. Bye. Again, they've written me, I quote, due to interruption, no suicide, too bad. Now watch the spin. In reference to Jared and the indiscriminate slaughter that he just did, this one is saying, no suicide, too bad. In other words, very clearly, it was supposed to be a suicide. Now, when I look at the symbol, again, I'm going to mention again what this individual says concerning the symbol. Let me go back to it here real quick. The Eye of Horus and a pentagram. Now, I believe you can find this on the web unless they begin to take everything off. But on this picture, they're saying that the sigil that he made that was his, that would have been charged, that would have had the idea of power. Now, they're saying this. This is, again, somebody that understands programming, assassination, assassins, and all the process of all of that. They're saying, first, sigil-like, a symbol. Like Eye of Horus with pentagram, or perhaps meaning, quote, man under the beast system. They write to me, quote, either way, note the pentagram beneath. But it is one point up, not two, referring to the pentagram, which has the idea of a pinnacle then. Now, let me say something. I am getting an email in even right now as we speak, and we are looking at another thing that has been sent in concerning now, saying, well, they got a picture, an exclusive Daily News. I just got this. I hadn't seen it yet. It does show what the newsman said this afternoon. He called it literally, he called it a shrine with a skull. I'm looking at it right now. I guess it's out on the web, Daily News, exclusive. It is like an altar. There are the candles that are used in Santeria Pala Maombi. There's a plate which looks like food offered to spirits. There's a Ganga, and there are things in it, and there's a skull in the midst of it. Pretty interesting. Now listen, I know we only have so much time tonight. We won't have all the answers at all. Everybody's going to dig into this. But I think that because of the requests, I'm going to bring in these 10 points. When it comes to programmed assassins, when it comes to those hundreds of thousands of sleepers, and I don't doubt that handlers are listening. And I would simply, as we've done already, put out the prayers that God engage you of the stupidity of serving this dark side, because like Judas, in the end, you all hang, you all lose, both here and now and forever and ever and ever. You don't die and get a second chance. Judas didn't die and get a second chance. Was there a spiritual presence behind Jared? The shrine, the altar, the skull, the Ganga, the candles, the calling of spirits? Could you imagine that if psychology understood how spirits actually engage individuals, and yeah, they make them mental, because they're all about doing that. They're all about confusion and control and bringing in assignments, and they can work and operate in serial murderers and serial rapists. You talk about John Wayne Gacy, you talk about Dahmer, you talk about Ted Bundy, you talk about the Ripper Crew in Chicago. Somebody put a note up on Facebook yesterday where I mentioned reading Tom McGowan's book, Programmed to Kill. I'm sure his book's getting a look. I quoted his book in my book, Programmed to Kill. He's the only author in not really law enforcement, but writing in the context of serial murders, finding out that many serial murders are multiples with programmed subpersonalities. And in my opinion, and in our work, they went rogue, like the guy that killed Sarah Bain, Kathy Menendez, Let Their Bodies, Futon Road. Two red palm prints on the green gas box in the back of that field. On a little sign in the back of that field, two must die tonight. Sacrifice with dripping-looking blood. Spirits behind all of it. And listen, that's not going to come out in the news. You're not going to hear it in Fox, CNN, in SP. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it there. But if there was an altar, even if it was Palo Maombi, even if it was Santeria, even if it was... Now, did you hear today, too? Now, I heard this before coming down here to the studio, that the father and the mother locked themselves in the home, and the feds were at the door, and it was a standoff. The father is said by a neighbor to be somebody with a bursting, raging anger. Something about the whole family. Something's wrong there. But in the backyard, and it will probably just looked over. I mean, who in law enforcement understands how to profile a multiple, profile somebody that's into dark spirits? How would you have profiled Judas when Satan as an entity entered into him and led him to betray unto death, a brutal death, Christ? What led Jared? Everybody's pointing to two things right now. Here's the conclusions we're hearing. I don't buy it. Here's the conclusions. Lone gunman, just a crazy young kid, messed up young, lonely, lone gunman. And he killed a lot of innocent people. Really? Is that all there was to it? When it comes to those spiritually engaged to commit murder, then suicide, or the programming that follows that dark side methodology to kill and slaughter and then commit suicide so that no one will find out, so that no one, because Satan also is done with you. Satan give you a job, you accomplish it. Yeah, you're going to get a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Right, yeah, you're going to get the pot of gold. No, you're going to get the boot. You're going to rot on the ground. You're going to lose your soul. So for all the assassins out there, all of the sleepers out there, by extraordinary miracle of the hand of God, may God begin to bring salvation, deliverance, and healing and interrupt all of that. And by the thousands of believers out there, if you're understanding what is to come, you better get your prayers up now. Don't wait till things like this happen. That's why we've been given preemptive prophetic revelation so that we can be at the cutting edge before and do the mission of God. Let me get to the 10 points. 13 minutes left here tonight. It bugs me, too, that the little girl shot in the chest and killed and slaughtered was born on 9/11/2001. Bugs me. Here's the clues. Number one, that there's always behind this, like the guy, the boy in Finland or Germany or Pennsylvania, like Jared and like the VTEC shooter and on and on and on and on. Known mental problems. They're going through they got anger going on. And there's no question that anger can lead people to shoot. We had locally here a law officer that got so angry at the big party going outside of his house, the noise that was going on. He just walked out of his house and started shooting. He killed people. He lost it. Now that was anger turned to rage and he lost control. But here's the clues. All 10 of them. Here's 10 things you can begin to use as a grid when it comes to shooters, because here's what's going to happen. Before this big black awakening occurs, this great chaos occurs, this collapse of the nations, before this thing that the world has never seen, it has never occurred, but will. As I wrote a note back to Sue Bradley, the journalist, this is not the black awakening today, friends, but you can expect a lot more tremors before all hell breaks loose. You can expect a lot more disgusting tragedies, eruptions, environmental, things like this, border wars, unleash. Well, listen, even is it a bomb? Is it a threat right there at Homeland Security today? Clues to look for if it is a programmed assassin. Number one, that there are some kind of mental, or it seems to be, or programmed to look like, that there's ongoing mental problems. Depression, talking to yourself. You know, when you see some people talking to themselves, sometimes that is a multiple. One personality talking to another. They do have somebody listening. And I've observed in front of me where they switch personalities and the other one answers back with a different voice. It's more than just demonization. We've seen that hundreds of times, too. But there's known mental problems, number two. they're always said to be a loner. Whether Finland, whether Germany, whether Pennsylvania, whether VTEC, they're a loner. Well, they're meant to be. In all these chosen ones that we've dealt with over the years, they're just blend in. They're to blend into society and not to be known. They're just to be kind of living life. Those sleepers, listen to me. There are hundreds of thousands of sleepers. They're in Europe, they're in Russia, they're in England, they're in America. There are hundreds of thousands of intact sleepers. And when I say sleeper, sub-personalities that are inside programmed to assassinate, kill, explode, bomb, do it. And they're also charged, demonized, but they're down, they're buried, waiting for the activation, waiting for the trigger. And all of them, with an upfront person and other sub-personalities, hey, they're to be making sure the person stays out of the news. They're to have them lead a loner life. They're supposed to be just blending in. They've been blending into churches since the 70s. Most churches, I mean real churches, will have, and it's not their fault, they've been placed. They're in the government. They're in law enforcement. They're all over the military. They've had over 60 years to do this. They've placed them. Sometimes they break down, they go rogue. As I believe in the case of the two girls here that were slaughtered, the two characteristics, mentally known mental problems, loner, that already fits the bill there. Now, number three, when I say psychological, that means that they've had some kind of psychological help. Somewhere, someplace, whether military, whether the school, whether somebody made them, whether the parents put them into it, whether they had a psychologist, there's paperwork, there's something there in many of these cases. They may have been diagnosed borderline, schizophrenic, multiple. But you're usually not going to find out about that till after the fact. Number four, the self-released cover story. Just like the VTEC shooter and others, Jared obviously puts out things to his friends, his goodbyes, everything else, puts up his last ramblings. That may have been done, if he's a multiple, that may have been done by another personality. I was working with a law enforcement agent that was a multiple. I was breaking in and finding, and we were doing some prayer and healing and deliverance, and other personalities were coming up, but protectors and guardians and others on the inside that were loyal to the underground didn't want me to get to sleepers, didn't want me to get to the bottom, didn't want this person to be healed. So a separate personality was commissioned by handlers to resign from law enforcement to get out. They wrote the letter. The main person did not. Self-released cover story may be done by a sub-personality, may give some indications, but also may give diversion to what is really there. So just individuals trying to make sense of this bloody, stupid, senseless tragedy. At the very least, echoing the fact that radical evil does exist. Sadness and pain since the fall of humanity. Self-released cover story. Could be the handler. Could be a sub-personality. It only takes a phone call. It only takes one communication. It only takes one meeting. It only takes one person picking up another, driving them somewhere, dropping them off, telling them, that is, the sub-personality, what to do and what not to do. See, if the VTEC shooter never used a gun, if the upfront personality didn't even know how to handle one, let me tell you, many of the people I dealt with, the upfront person wouldn't know how to handle a gun. If they were to shoot one at a shooting range, they would be like terrified, shaking, and you'd have to really help them. But if the highly trained, programmed personality comes up, Well, they are weapons expert, shooting expert, without a conscience, because of the programming, because of the demonization. Oh, please, please, you know, it's like saying all of Nazi Germany was just a psychological mess. It was all just a mental problem. There's no spiritual darkness that guided that. There's no demonic that guided that. It's like saying Judas just went out and betrayed Jesus Christ on his own. Well, he didn't. And I don't believe Jared did this without spiritual influence. Especially looking at that pure altar, the Ganga, the candles, the offering plate. Even on a lesser level, if his sigil or symbol is truly the Eye of Horus and a pentagram, then he's not an atheist. That's a cover story. Number five, the background. When you dig deep, deep, deep into his background, by not accident, but because some reporter broke boundaries and went around and got a picture of that altar in the backyard where he lived. I wonder about the whole family. Number six, the gun. Where did he get the gun? Okay, he's got a gun. I saw on the news today about they want people to, you know, guns kill. No, it's people that kill. People kill. That's what happens. With a knife, with a baseball bat, choking, with a rope. People kill. Poisons. People kill. The gun. Now, if he's going to kill just the Congress lady, if he's mad at the Congress lady, if he thinks that she has betrayed him and won't answer him, if he thinks she's using language that nobody understands, well, you know, it's one thing to go through the crowd and kill the Congress lady. But he had a clip, what was it, a 31-bullet clip, an extra extended clip, not the regular clip in the Glock, but an extended clip. And once he unleashed that one, he had another one. And the dear lady that grabbed it from him, hero lady, he had another one. And he put it in. And then they got him, and they brought him down. You see, the goal was indiscriminate. Listen, number six is the gun, the issue of the gun. If he never shot before, did he go to the shooting range? Has he done this before? Why that big of a clip? How's come so many clips? I don't have that many clips. I don't have a big extended clip. That involves killing many. That involves needing many bullets. That involves something more. It's not just the congresswoman. Something inside of him was doing the indiscriminate. Now, that's number seven, indiscriminate slaughter. In these cases of shooters, if you see indiscriminate slaughter, that's an indicator of programming. The suicide, number eight. Number nine, the cover-up, what they hide. And then number 10, well, not being able to come up with a clear, clean conclusion. Maybe we'll mention more of this. This music is here. They're telling me I'm done today. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. Good night. Actually, we're off air right now, and I wanted to tell those who are listening to the archives, go into a little bit more of this. I mentioned the 10 things. The mental known problems, number one. Number two, the loner. Number three, the real psychological stuff that's been going on behind the scenes, paperwork and being engaged and being given drugs even. Number four, the self-released cover story. Number five, the background, that is getting into it now. And a reporter today has found an altar in the backyard with a Ganga. It could be Santeria, Palomar. Just getting a glimpse of looking at it, someone sent to me, with a skull, with a plate that usually means they put food and offered it to Orishas, gods, goddesses. So looking at further background, I mentioned number four was self-released cover story to kind of divert, to try to say, well, here's the reason. Well, if he's mad at the woman, okay, that's one thing. But he didn't go there to get just the woman. He lost his brain. What reminds me of a programmed assassin is the fact that, as I have point number seven, indiscriminate slaughter, like no conscience. Like in my office, there was nothing. It was blank. Everything was just unbelievable. So that's what's important to take a look at. Indiscriminate. It's like kill as many as possible, cause as much carnage. And then point number eight, suicide, the cover-up. Because if they commit suicide, nobody can interrogate them. If they commit suicide, nobody can put them through anything. Number nine, the cover-up by whether law enforcement and others, look for that. If it's really a programmed assassin, the cover-up would be just things like, he's a lone assassin, just a depressed boy, and that's all there is to it. Now, that's because of number 10. They're not able to come up with another clear conclusion. Now, for those listening to the archives, we're going on longer because the hour live is over, and I wanted to give you a little bit more to consider in this, and that is that dark powers are working and operative, just like in the day of Judas, and the methodology was to invade life, possess, guide. That's behind what would be considered a criminal act, a slaughter. Well, in this case, Jesus is betrayed and killed because of what Judas did, but it's because Satan entered him. You can read that in John's Gospel. I will say again that there are hundreds of thousands of sleepers, and even sleepers whose upfront personalities, handlers, the informers, and even enforcers may be listening to all of this tonight. I know some are because they've emailed me. A number of emails came in live during the show. Some say that, is this testing the assassins? Sure. Was there possibly behind the scenes, was this lady the target? Well, you know, they're saying that all he wanted to do was kill her, but he slaughters all these other people. The radical evil to shoot a little 9-year-old and kill a little girl. Now, that's what is, unbelievable. Let me say this again for all those who have been asking the questions and needing to understand that this kind of thing will occur on a global scale, probably in all cities around the world. It will happen in a horrific way when literally the Word of God says peace, it'll be taken from the earth, the whole earth. And this event, there'll be something that brings a causing. Peace will be taken, something is removed, something is done, and all of a sudden, human beings begin to slaughter other human beings. The Greek word used there is not a military term for war. It is used even in animal sacrifice. It is a slaughtering. It is a butchery. In the Word of God, Revelation chapter 6, there is clearly a picture of prophetic revelation showing what is to happen, and on a multinational global scale, there's coming a day in which peace will be removed. Hell will be unleashed. Millions will die, not just 20-some. And it will unleash such chaos, such terror, such fear. The killing will be indiscriminate slaughter without a conscience. And those doing it, primarily programmed, demonized assassins who are now, at this moment, but sleepers down inside chosen ones. And they are among you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web.